If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20 for the reading of God's Word. My greatest desire every service is that people receive help that we all need. I know the best way to receive help is in our worship of God and in our listening to His Word. I marveled again last week, this is the way it's supposed to be. Someone came to me and said, you know, when you said such and such in the sermon, it just spoke right to my heart. And I searched my mind and everything, and I never really said anything just like that. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes one preached word and He applies it to the needs of people's hearts and causes them to hear the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord beyond what the man is saying, what the Spirit of the Lord can take and apply, meet the need of hearts. Amen. And that's why we stand in need of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 20, you'd stand reading for the word of God. Verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. Well, the other Gospels adds in there, and to spit upon him. And the third day he shall rise again. Verse 17 says, Jesus going up to Jerusalem. What he did here is he shared with the disciples what he was going to face once he got to Jerusalem. He said, this is what I'm going to face when I get to Jerusalem. I want to preach this morning on he knew what he would face. He knew what he would face. That's what he's disclosing to the disciples here on this road. He knew what he was facing. We're going to preach this sermon, but time it's over with, I want it to be real to us once again that Jesus faced what he faced so we can face what we face. Jesus faced what he faced so we can face what we face. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? A lot of us facing different things. I want us to pray. Remember, Sister Harris will have surgery in the morning to fix her arm. And also, Annette lost a very close friend that she had and is understandably hurting because of that this morning. And I just want us to pray for Annette that God would come to her and speak to her. He's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your people. Thank you that we've come together to hear your word, to be in your presence. Lord, I pray you lay a hand upon Sister Harris. Be with her in this surgery tomorrow. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Annette right now. You're the God of all comfort. You know each one by name. You're the good shepherd. Lord, you're acquainted with grief. Lord, you're acquainted with grief. Lord, I pray you administer the light of God in this time of darkness. And Lord, anoint me to preach your word. And may people's needs be met through the word. Shut up my heart to the truth. Remove every distraction. God, help our hearts to have but one desire, and that's to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think with me of a time when you were immediately facing something you totally dreaded facing, but there was no way around it. Can you do that? Fix in your mind a time when there was something imminent that you were facing, no way around it. You dreaded facing that thing. Maybe it's something you're facing right now that you don't even want to think about. And you don't even think you can face. I'll tell you one of the first things that came to my mind. It was those times in elementary school when I got sent to the principal's office. They paddled in those days. You didn't go to the principal's office for a piece of candy. You went for some woodwork. And it didn't help that my principal's name was Mr. Killingsworth. I remember walking down from my room to the principal's office. I can well remember that walk. I knew what I would face there. And the dread just permeated each step I took. Maybe you've thought of something. Maybe it's confronting someone close to you with dreaded news. Maybe it's waiting to get the test results back when the doctor's already told you it doesn't look very good. Maybe it's being called to the boss's office. The rumors have been around work that there's going to be a layoff. Maybe it's knowing that tomorrow is tax day. Maybe it's having, as a young person, faced with the prospects of having to break up with someone or being broken up with. Maybe it's getting a big speeding ticket and knowing you have to tell your parents, tell your spouse. Maybe it's getting a bad report card and now you're on the way home to show it to your parents. That's never happened, right, young people? Never. Good to see you, Megan. Can you think of that incident when you dreaded facing what you had to face? Now, I want to tell you something. It's one thing for catastrophic things to take you by surprise. But it's another thing when you know the dreaded thing is coming. You know the dreaded thing is in the immediate future. You know there's no way around it. You know there's nothing you can do to avoid it. I wanted us to get that picture because almost 2,000 years ago this Sunday, Jesus began his last trip to Jerusalem. And he knew what he was going to face when he got there. We usually begin the story of Palm Sunday as Jesus descended the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. We begin, Brother Steve, with the palm branches being shaken in the wind and the clothes being taken off and being put in front of the donkey. And we begin with the shouts of the people and all of that. We begin with the descent on the Mount of Olives. But I want us to rewind from the descent up to the peak, rewind down the slopes on the other side of the Mount of Olives, down into the Jordan River. And this Palm Sunday, I want us to begin there on the road that was ascending up before Jesus began his descent. I want to talk about what happened on the road there. Jesus, it says in verse 17, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to them, Jesus was aware that this was his last trip. His last trip to Jerusalem. His last journey with his disciples. And so he took them off the road that he might have a private, special word with his disciples. You know, the history is here that this was the Passover trip. And every male Jew was required to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so the roads were crowded with people. That's why Jesus took his disciples apart off the road. Because he wanted only them to hear what he had to share. They left the crowded road and he gathered the disciples around him. He said, I've got to tell you something. It reminded me of the times at youth camp I saw Brother Brian get the youth group. I mean, there's young people everywhere, but he's got the roadies apart and he's telling them something. It's not for everybody, it's for them. And that's what Jesus did. He got the disciples off the crowded road and there he said, I've got a private word. And he began to tell them this wasn't an ordinary trip to Jerusalem. This one is going to be different. In this last leg of his journey, he began to reveal to them what he was going to face when he got to Jerusalem. And oh, what a journey it was. It began at the throne of heaven in the glory of God. And he left the glory of the Father and found himself incarnate, conceived in a woman's womb, a child in the flesh. That journey had led to Egypt, where they had fled when he was a young child. That journey had led right through a carpenter's shop. That journey had led to boat rides on the Sea of Galilee. That journey had led to actually walking across that waves. That journey had led to when he delivered the demoniac and set free those that were bound and opened blind eyes. That journey led through ridicule. That journey led through times of adulation and accolades. But now he's on the last leg of that journey that began at the throne of glory. And what he's about to face is not a pleasant thing. It's not something to look forward to. Yes, on the descent, the triumphant entry would take place. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples about the shouts and the accolades. Jesus didn't tell them how they're going to take their clothes and their outer garments and spread them in the way. He didn't tell how they were going to cut down the palm branches. He didn't talk about the triumph. He told them about the crucifixion, the pain, the agony that he was about to face. Oh, what a Savior. He knew what he would face in Jerusalem. Yet, as it says in Luke 9, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what he was going to face, but he took the steps towards it anyway. He knew what he was going to face, but he completed the journey anyway. I'm preaching this morning. He faced what he faced so it could be different for us. First of all, I want to reiterate, he knew what he was going to face. Look in verse 18. Look what he describes is going to take place here. He said there's going to be betrayal. And there was. His friend Judas betrayed him. He said his death was going to be called for by his people. Not just betrayed by Judas, but betrayed the very ones he had healed and spoken the word to. He said he's going to be condemned to death by the leaders of his people. Verse 18, they condemned him to death. Amen. Verse 19, he said he's going to be turned over to the enemies of his people. The Romans made a mockery of in court. He said he's going to be beaten with the whip. They will scourge him. Another version said they're going to spit on him. He shared that with the disciples. They spat upon him. Then he said he was going to be crucified. He said, that's what I'm facing in Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me on the cruel cross. I believe that later, as they topped Mount of Olives and began the journey down towards Jerusalem, and the palm fronds were cut and the garments were cast into the road, his disciples, they heard the shouts of the people, had to think, Jesus was wrong. It's not going to come to pass, all those horrible things. Look at the people. Listen to them shout. Amen. They're welcoming a king. None of this that Christ said is going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, but it was going to happen. That's why he wanted them to know about it. Amen. He knew the people would be shouting. But as the people shouted to the king, Jesus was contemplating. Jesus was thinking about what he was going to face on the other side of the gate in the halls of judgment. He thought of all those awful things that were going to come to pass. He knew what he was going to face. You know, I don't believe Jesus knew this in the womb or as a child. I think Jesus grew in awareness of how his journey was going to end as the Son of God. Can you imagine one day when Jesus was reading Isaiah 53, and here he is, I don't know his age, but Jesus is reading, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep are gone astray. We're turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought us a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not. Can you imagine the time that Christ read this in Isaiah? And suddenly by the Holy Spirit, he came to the conclusion. The prophet was speaking about me. The prophet is talking about me. The prophet is sharing 800 years before it happened what I'm going to face one day. Can you imagine what happened when Christ came to the awareness? That's me. That's talking about me. He knew what he was going to face. In Jesus' times, the cruel Roman conquerors had taken even at one time 2,000 Jews and crucified them, lining the roads with the crucified, the dying, the moaning, the worst possible death a person could die. As a child, Christ grew up. He had looked on the side of the road and saw the criminals and the political prisoners that the Romans had crucified. And there came a day when he looked at one of those suffering victims on a cross, and suddenly he knew, one day I'm going to be hanging on that cross. Oh, he knew it was going to happen. He knew what he was going to face. Don't you know that was a hard hill to climb as he climbed the Mount of Olives, because he knew what was on the other side. He knew what he was going to face. It's like a man walking to the gallows knowing even he's going to be hanged. It's like someone on death row where his execution date has been set. Out of this week, the Japanese general, he was convicted of all the crimes in the Philippines against the American prisoners of war, and how really he hadn't had anything to do with it. It was his insubordinates or his subordinates being insubordinate. And yet I read where they took him out and he looked across the field and there was a plank of wood standing vertically. It was the backdrop to catch the bullets of the firing squad. And it talked about as he walked across the yard there, amen, to be tied up against that plank to have his life taken. I thought this week as I read that, oh, what dread it must have been for General Hamo as he took each step towards that plank. He knew what he was going to face. But then I thought it was the same with Jesus. Every step he took towards Jerusalem, he knew what was at the end of the road. He knew what he was going to face. The people may be waving the palm branches. They may be throwing their garments at his feet. They may be shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. But he knew with every step what he was going to face. What a Savior. Secondly, I want us to consider that he knew he didn't have to face it. He didn't have to face it. He had done nothing wrong. In fact, he could have went back to heaven, been justified in doing so, and still remained righteous and holy. He could have called myriads of angels to destroy the Roman armies. Hallelujah. He could have incinerated every member of the Sanhedrin that condemned him. He could have thrown Herod and Pilate off of their thrones. He could have stopped the mouths and zapped the crowd that God crucified him. He could have left this corrupt planet, went back to heaven, and no one could have blamed him. He knew he didn't have to face it. And that makes it even more precious that he faced what he knew he didn't have to face. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. Something else. He knew why he faced what he faced. I mentioned he knew he wasn't facing it for crimes of his own doing. He knew it wasn't for his wrong that he faced it. He knew it was for the wrong of people, of you and of me. He knew that's why he was facing it. He knew he faced what he faced in Jerusalem so he could save mankind. Free people that are oppressed and possessed and tormented by demons. He knew why he was facing it. He was facing it to open the prison doors, to bind up the brokenhearted. Oh, hallelujah. He was facing what he faced. He knew why. It was to save lost. It was to save you and me. But he faced it, knowing why he faced it. Amen. He is the one that has thrown himself in the way between the gunman and the intended victim to take the bullet. He's the one, the stories we read about, Brother Brock, in the foxhole. And a grenade is thrown in, and one of the men throw themselves upon it to save the lives of the rest. He knew why he faced what he faced. And then I want us to consider this morning, he knew he faced it so we wouldn't have to. Oh, hallelujah. By all rights, it should have been us that was crucified. It was our crime, Brother Ryan. It was our sin. It was your sin and my sin. By all rights, it should have been us facing it. But he faced it so we wouldn't have to. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. He faced the death sentence so we wouldn't have to. He paid for our sins so we wouldn't have to. I read this week about an intellectual, wasn't raised as a Christian. As he grew up, he began to read about all the different religions and dabble in the different religions. But he wrote his testimony. He said, I became a believer. I became a Christian because I was familiar with all these other religions. But he said, I read one day in the Bible where Jesus took my place. He said, that convinced me right there. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus was the substitute. We were bound on the altar with the knife descending. And God said, stop, wait a minute. Take the person off the altar. Break the bondage. I have provided a lamb to take their place. Hallelujah. He faced what he faced so we wouldn't have to. Amen. I want us to consider he knew what he faced. And he faced it so we wouldn't have to face an eternity of hell. I talked with someone recently and disturbed. They looked at me and said, Pastor, I'm facing X number of years in prison, a large number. Disturb them. Rightfully so. I begin to think how awful it would be. I'm not talking about the things done wrong. This is a person that had come to Christ and repented of those things. But how would you feel if you knew you were facing X number of years in prison? Think of how everything would drain out of you all hope and how dark it would get and gloomy it would get. We were facing worse than X number of years in jail. We were facing eternity in hell. And he knew it. And he faced the cross so we don't have to face hell. We ought to be able to shout right here, hallelujah. Have you thought about that recently? We don't have to go to hell because of what he faced. Hallelujah. Glory, say, I don't believe in hell. Amen. Close your Bible. Amen. Let's lock the doors. Amen. Amen. We don't have a message, but we do have a message. Yes, people are headed to hell, but he faced what he faced. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they don't have to go to an eternity of hell. They can follow Christ back from his resurrection to an eternity in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read years ago, and I didn't have time or didn't go through the effort to look up the details, but back at the concentration camps, this one particular concentration camp. Every day they were commanded to take a quota of men and march them to the furnaces to incinerate them, or to the gas chambers to gas them. And the word got around, and the men at camp knew that. And every day they'd come and they'd count and they'd grab different ones and put them in line for the quota. And the Nazis came that day. They began to grab men and put them in line for the quota. A man standing to the side was a single man. He had no family. His parents were dead. He's not married. He didn't have children. But he looked in line, and there was a man that he knew had a wife and children. And when the Nazis weren't looking, he walked over there quickly, grabbed that man with the family, pushed him aside, and took his place in the line, knowing he was marching to a gas chamber. The man that happened to, that changed his life. He became a believer. Why? Somebody, knowing what they were going to face, faced it so he wouldn't have to. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus faced every demon in hell. He faced every guilt, every condemnation, every sin. He faced a cruel cross so we don't have to face hell. Hallelujah. It's not only an ignorant thing, it is also a cruel thing to know the gospel, that Christ faced it so you don't have to go to hell, yet refuse to accept him as Savior with gratitude, refuse to confess your sin. Oh, what a foolish thing. And oh, what a cruel thing, knowing that he faced it so you don't have to. And then he knew he faced it so we can face what we face. We may not face Calvary. We face a lot of difficult things in our lives. I'm quick, and the older I am, the quicker I am not to minimize other people's trouble. Because what you face may not be a tremendous thing for me, but it is for you. And what I face may not be such a tremendous thing for you, but it is for me. Amen? We face different things. But we need to keep something in mind. He faced those things so we can face them too, with his strength, with his help. How many knows we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin? And he took upon him not the form of angels, but he took upon him the nature and the seed of man, that he could succor many. Facing what he faced, he's won the victory over it. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the scripture just a second. But Jesus, amen, he endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. And a part of that joy, he faced that cross because he knows he can help us through what we got to go through. He can help us face what we got to face. I don't know what you're facing in the week to come. You may dread that. It may be a difficult thing, a painful thing, a hurtful thing, a confusing thing, a disillusioning thing. But I'm telling you, you can face it because he already faced it and won the victory. Victory, hallelujah. Last of all, he faced it knowing what was on the other side of it all. Here's where I want to visit Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah, the pioneer, the blazer, and the walker of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured, he faced it because he knew the joy that was going to come out of it. What was the joy that came out of it? Well, for one, he had done the Father's will. Hallelujah. for another. By facing that cross, he had saved countless millions from hell and destruction and sin and guilt and pain and separation from God that filled him with joy. He faced that cross, amen, for the joy of knowing that cross was going to save such as you and me. Hallelujah. Oh, that brings joy. That's why the Jesus said, don't rejoice because you cast out a demon. Rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, when someone repents, amen, they rejoice in heaven. I'm telling you, Christ, when he came out of the grave, he was shouting for joy. Why? Because he was saying, I've saved them. I've delivered them. Hallelujah. I've made them mine. Oh, that was his joy to know. He faced it for the joy of saving us. It was the joy. Amen. Amen. He made a way that we could join him in heaven. And so he faced what he faced for what was on the other side of it. The joy. That's why the writer says, consider him that endured this, contradicting of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint your minds. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's already faced it. He's already blazed the trail. He's already cleared the path. And he'll walk it with us. Consider him. Look what he's done. He's already made the path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll go before you. You can face it. He did it for joy before him. And his having cleared the path, you can walk it too for the joy that's on the other side. I know we have trials and temptations and difficulty, but we can face it because we know at the end of the journey is the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand there's gladness forevermore. We can face it. I want to finish with verse 19. Christ shared what was going to happen. He's continuing that in 19, and he says he delivered him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge, to crucify him. After he talked about all that he suffered, he finished with this one phrase, one sentence, and the third day, he shall rise again. That offset everything else. Scourged and beaten and betrayed and crucified, but on the third day, he shall rise again. That's going to be part of your story too. Whatever you go through, keep your faith, and you're going to rise again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I was talking to Sister Harris. Pastor's job is to comfort, you know. She's telling me about her fall. I said, I got a scripture for you. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for if I fall, I shall arise. I know that I'm facing what I'm facing. Hallelujah. You may knock me down, enemy. You may bring your hardest and your best against me, but he rose victorious above it all, and I'm going to rise too. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In World War I, those allies in those trenches in France, they faced the unspeakable. Gas was new on the battlefield. They faced the gassings, the disease, the mud, the inclement weather of those trenches. One night a British soldier said, I've had enough. I can't handle any more of this. He was going to desert. And the night he snuck out of the trench and tried to head for the coast. He was going to steal a boat, try to make across the English Channel back to home. That night there was no moon, and it was exceedingly dark. He couldn't even hardly find the road and stumbled around for hours. He said, I've got to find out where I'm at if I ever make it to the coast. Stumbled into a pole that he thought was a signpost. And so he climbed the signpost. He was going to try to look at the sign to tell where he was at. But it was so dark, he couldn't tell. And so hanging on to the top of that signpost, he struck a match. And when in the light of the match, he saw that he hadn't climbed a signpost. That having been a Catholic country, they had roadside crucifix, and it was a crucifix on a pole that he had climbed. And when he struck the match, he was looking right in to the depiction of Christ suffering on the cross. And he looked at it till the match burned out. And he got down from the pole. And here's what he said. He wrote later. He said, when I saw what my Lord faced, here's his words, and never turned back. Instead of heading for the coast, I went back through the brightening day. I went back and climbed into the trench. And I told myself, if he faced all that for me, I can face this. If he faced all that for me, I can face this. I have no idea if anyone is here in that shape. But if you're thinking about quitting, maybe you've already quit in your heart. You say, this is just too much. You've lost your joy. You've lost your hope, your courage. You're wanting to give up. I want to ask you to do something this morning. I want you to take another look in his face, the face of the crucified Lord. I want you to think of everything he faced for you. And he never turned back. I think if you take a good look, you'd have to conclude, if he faced that for me and never turned back, I can face what I gotta face. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands across the building? Would you thank him that he faced what he faced? He faced it for you. He faced it for you. Come on, let's thank you. Out loud, thank you, Jesus. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to walk that road, but you walked it. You could have detoured the cross and went back to heaven, but you didn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Lord, you're able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never done this. I always shut it completely out of my mind. Are we streaming, Brother Tim? I always shut that completely out of my mind. But somewhere in the middle of the sermon, I begin to feel that somebody is listening this morning that needs Christ as Savior. They need Jesus. And I just want to say, he faced that cross. Amen. So you wouldn't have to face the degradation, the pain, the separation, the hurt, the darkness of your life. But you can be born again. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be set free. He faced it so you wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand across the building. Lift our hearts and our hands. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Oh, Lord, I'm worthy of the least of your mercies. But you've shown us the best of them. You've shown us the best of them, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Save somebody this morning, Lord. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. I'm going to open this altar in just a moment. But I like to believe I wasn't just preaching a thematic message in that it's Palm Sunday and I preached about Palm Sunday. I'd like to believe that someone received the help they need this morning. And I'd like to open this altar, of course, always for those, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I'd encourage you to come. Someone will be here to pray with you. We use this step as an altar. Jesus died for you. Whatever your name, wherever you live, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, Jesus faced what he faced for you. These altars are open for those that need Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I also want to open these altars right now. Some of you are facing tremendous things. I wonder if you wouldn't just like to climb up what you think is a signpost and look in the face of the crucified this morning and say, if you face what you faced, I know you're going to give me the strength and the help to face what I face. If you're here this morning, you're facing something, but you just like to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look in his crucified face realizing what he'd done for us. Would you come? Would you begin to come right now and say, I do need help facing what I'm facing. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he faced it for me. Would you begin to fill these altars and say, Lord, I will see you again. I want to see what you've done for me, what you've been through for me, that I can face what I'm going to face. Would you come? These altars are open right now. You just come and say, Lord, I need you. I don't want to face this by myself. I want to face this with the strength and the help. I want another look at the crucified Lord. Oh, they're going to deliver him to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But on the third day, he shall rise again. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame. Oh, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Oh, would you come and take a look? I mean, this is a trip to look into the eyes of the crucified one.